Something went very wrong on board a PC-12 Sunday. Bell starts replacing striking workers in Texas. And there's a new top lawyer at the FAA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 8, 2009. 56-year-old Daniel Dorsch, the former CEO of the Checkers restaurant chain, died along with three passengers when the Pilatus PC-12 registered to his company went down Sunday on a flight from Teterboro, New Jersey to Tampa, Florida. Authorities said the crash site in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley held evidence of a high-energy impact. The News Virginian reports relatives have confirmed that Dorsch's 55-year-old wife, Cindy, and her 23-year-old dance instructor, Stefan Matkowski, were on the plane, as was 37-year-old Jenny Brown, identified by her brother as a marketing director for Dorsch's company. Dorsch had reportedly flown his wife and Matkowski to a New York dance contest where they competed as partners. He's said to have informed ATC of a problem with the plane's panel and announced his intent to try for Lynchburg Regional Airport. Residents 5 miles from the crash site reported feeling the ground shake. Local media cite official sources in reporting that Dorsch had been a pilot since 1981 and received his instrument rating in 2007. The families and the Tampa business community are mourning the loss. The NTSB is investigating. There are two widely varying stories being told about Bell Helicopter's decision to hire new workers to replace striking members of the United Auto Workers Local 218 at its plant in Hearst, Texas. CEO Dick Millman says on the Bell website that the company's so-called last best offer offered a way forward, but the strike has left him no choice. Quote, "I'm proud to say that the employees who are filling in are doing a great job. Since the strike, we have reduced delinquencies on past due military products by 5%. We have had zero recordable injuries, and we continue to deliver critical components and aircraft on time. When our employees do return, they will return to a new Bell, more efficient, more competitive, and more accountable. This is the only way to secure all our futures," unquote. A response posted on the union's website by bargaining executive Tom Wells reads in part, quote, "I've got reports on how chaotic it is in the facilities. Scrapped parts, wrecked machines, long working hours for supervisors, and loss of income from sales. Again, I say to Bell, we are available to bargain. I ask the membership to stay the course," unquote. Texas is a right-to-work state, and the company has posted a detailed FAQ for strikers with questions about their benefits or how to return to work or resign from the union on the company website. Continental Airlines says its simulator engineers have ratified a new 4-year contract. The deal provides a 2.5% raise in each of the next 4 years, a company match to the 401k, and the addition of 2 floating holidays. Continental CEO Larry Kellner says he's pleased, quote, "We are operating in a very tough economic environment and are glad that we are able to work together to reach this agreement," unquote. The workers are represented by the Transport Workers Union Local 541. The old contract became amendable on December 31st of last year. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt has announced the appointment of David Grizzle as the new FAA Chief Counsel. Grizzle spent 22 years with Continental Airlines, including 3 as a Senior VP of Customer Experience. In 2004, the U.S. State Department named him Transportation and Infrastructure Coordinator and Attaché for the Afghanistan Reconstruction Group in Kabul, where he worked with the FAA and other government organizations to accelerate reconstruction efforts for transportation, power, and telecommunications. Grizzle practiced law at several New York firms following graduation from Harvard College and Harvard Law School. He's married with 3 kids. Babbitt said of his appointee, quote, "David Grizzle understands the challenges of leading a diverse international organization, as well as the complex interaction between governmental processes and our ultimate stakeholders, the American people," unquote. Up next on ANN, Continental comes out swinging at Rotax in the LSA ring. The FAA provides replacement part guidance to restorers of antique aircraft. And finding a Waco dealer just got easier. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine 4-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 8th. I'm Paul Plack. The marketplace for aircraft engines suitable for light sport aircraft in the U.S. is about to get another lightweight contender. Until now, the undisputed champion has been the Rotax 9 Series 4-strokes from Austria. To stay with the boxing analogy used by Continental in its ads for the new O200 lightweight, the Challenger could be described as slightly heavier and with a longer reach, measured in TBO. The Continental O200 Lightweight, aka 200D, displaces 201 cubic inches and makes 100 continuous direct drive horsepower at 2750 RPM. Claimed weight is 199 pounds and the engine is air-cooled. The Rotax 912 ULS makes 95 continuous horsepower at 5500 engine RPM, but uses a gear reduction unit to reach that power at a prop speed of 2263 RPM. The Rotax is liquid-cooled, requiring a radiator. Both engines use carburetors. Typical installed weights for the 912 will come in about 45 pounds less than the new Continental. That's a big deal for some payload-conscious LSAs. But the O200 sports a 2,000-hour TBO to the Rotax's 1,500. To be fair, many home builders run their 912s way past recommended TBO without any issue. And if the decades-long history of the small Continentals is any predictor, buyers of the O200 lightweight probably will too. Much to the chagrin of OEMs and home builders in the U.S., the 912 is made in Austria, so the price can fluctuate based on exchange rates. A quick check of current advertised prices in the U.S. shows the Rotax at around $19,000, but it needs accessories like an oil reservoir and radiator at extra cost. MSRP on the Continental is about $21,500, but it has an integrated wet sump oil system, typically runs without a muffler, and needs no radiator. Continental also hints at a core trade promotion for competing engines in the 85 to 115 horsepower range. That would include most versions of the Rotax 912, but details on that program were not available by our deadline. The next fight on the card will see Lycoming's IO233 LSA step into the ring. With mechanical fuel injection, electronic ignition, and more takeoff horsepower than the $30,000 Rotax 914 Turbo. But that's at least a few months away. Lycoming recently projected the first non-certified engines will reach development partners around the end of this year. This bout in the marketplace will be about weight, performance, and cost, but also about personal preference. Technology notwithstanding, some LSA buyers find comfort flying behind a bone-simple, air-cooled flat 4 and feel there's no replacement for displacement. This one will be fun to watch. The Experimental Aircraft Association is celebrating a successful collaboration with the FAA that has produced an advisory circular designed to make life easier for restorers of vintage aircraft. AC-23-27, Parts and Materials Substitution for Vintage Aircraft, is a welcome sign that, unlike the Department of Defense, the FAA is not out to rid the world of historic aircraft. EAA says the publication gives guidance to owners and restorers, but also to FAA aviation safety inspectors when collecting information needed for an FAA approval when parts or materials used in the original construction of a type certificated airplane are no longer available, or when newer materials are now common and would be more appropriate. The FAA is happy about the outcome too. Kim Smith, manager of the FAA's Small Airplane Directorate in Kansas City, commented, quote, "It's a great accomplishment to proactively work together and make it easier for owners to enhance the safety of their vintage aircraft," unquote. The number of that circular again is 23-27. You can find it through FAA.gov, dated May 18, 2009. Waco Classic Aircraft Corporation of Battle Creek, Michigan, says it has two new authorized sales reps. Propel Aviation Sales will serve the East Coast of the U.S., Central and South America. Tropical Aviation Distributors and Africair Incorporated will cover the Caribbean and the continent of Africa. Classic Aircraft Corporation began manufacturing the Waco Classic Aircraft in 1983, a 50-year-old design built under the original FAA type certificate. Classic hired experienced engineering talent from Piper, Taylor Craft, and Ford, and modernized the aircraft with over 300 engineering changes, then built new tooling. The first Waco YMF Classic rolled off the assembly line and received FAA certification under the original Waco type certificate in March of 1986. Still ahead, a Florida airport's federal funding is under attack from a tenant. A would-be FBO fights one airport's decision to name an exclusive fuel vendor. And when it comes down to it, a Blackhawk is really just a big, portable fan. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 8th. I'm Paul Plack. A NIMBY battle over new jet hangars at Florida's Venice Municipal Airport is entering a new phase. The Venice Jet Center has filed a complaint with the FAA, charging that the City of Venice's denial of permits to build and lease hangars involves five violations of federal grant assurances encumbered in the terms of a 1947 quitclaim deed agreed to by the city. The center says other tenants at the airport have been allowed to build and lease hangars, and that the city's actions in denying its permits are discriminatory. The Charlotte Sun and Weekly Herald reports that in addition to seeking relief under its Part 16 complaint, the center asked the FAA to block millions in future and currently earmarked federal aid to the airport while the complaint is pending. The FAA says it already has an audit of the airport's operations underway. In another case of tenant versus airport, the FAA has dismissed a Part 16 complaint by Jetaway against Montrose Regional Airport in Colorado. The company charged that the airport had violated the conditions of its federal grants when it granted rival Black Canyon Jet Center sole rights to sell fuel at Montrose Regional. The ruling came after an intense bidding war. After it couldn't reach agreement with the airport on terms for a lease for an FBO with no fuel, Jetaway's airport access was suspended indefinitely. Even though the FAA has ruled the airport did not violate the conditions of its grants, Jetaway CEO Stephen Stumer told the Montrose Daily Press the process has helped his separate antitrust suit against the airport, which claims unfair restraint on competition and civil rights violations. Quote, "We are pleased the FAA has issued its findings because it opens the door to discovery in the federal antitrust case. The FAA decision made clear the issues that will now be decided in the federal court," unquote. And finally today, if you always thought the downwash from a hovering helicopter was just a nuisance, think again. The West Virginia Gazette reports a National Guard Black Hawk helicopter was dispatched to hover over a soccer field for about 90 minutes Sunday night. It wasn't there to intimidate rowdy fans or answer some security threat. The tactic was aimed at getting the field dry enough to play a tournament match after a heavy rain. Len Rogers is the president of the West Virginia Soccer Association. He says he knew there was a problem on Sunday morning. He was advised by a state senator to call Governor Joe Manchin, who's a soccer fan. Quote, "When you call the governor up at 7:15 in the morning and get him out of bed, it's pretty neat," unquote. While some area residents have questioned the propriety of burning 90 minutes worth of fuel, at least some pilot got some valuable practice in IGE hover operations. Someday, when manned military combat aircraft are phased out, this tactic won't even be possible. How many predators would it take to dry out a soccer field? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, industry analyst Brian Foley tells us why he doesn't see a return to 2008 levels of business jet sales for at least a decade. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.